Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. We'll read verses 39 through 46 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Luke, chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And he came out, and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, today, just literally thousands of requests needed. Lord, thousands of opportunities here in this room to do right or to do wrong. Lord, may we listen to the man of God as he preaches your word, as you've given it to him and to us. Change our hearts and our lives, please. Lord, please, that one that needs you most today, would they listen? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we're going to take an advanced course on the topic of suffering. For some of you, if you'll do as the Bible instructs, I think you'll earn a master's degree in understanding suffering. Some, maybe even, you could get your doctorate from God in understanding this topic of suffering. The sermon today is entitled, Suffering When You're Right With God. Suffering When You Are Right With God. Some may say, now, preacher, there really shouldn't be any suffering if somebody is right with God. Well, I wish you were right in that assumption, but you're wrong. There is suffering when you are right with God. For instance, Abel was right with God when Cain rose up and slew him, and he suffered. Job suffered when he was right with God. Daniel suffered the infliction of the lion's den when he was right with God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three Hebrew boys, they suffered when they were seemingly right with God. Paul suffered while right with God. Silas suffered in the jail at midnight when he was right with God. Ezekiel suffered while right with God. Jeremiah suffered while seemingly right with God. Joseph sold into slavery by his own brothers. When? When he was in a backslidden, terrible condition? Oh no. When he was right with God. Now, you and I would like to believe that if we're right with God, there would be no suffering in our life. But the Bible teaches us differently. The Bible gives us example after example of a different opinion in regard to God's approach to suffering. Nobody was ever more right with God than Jesus, God's own Son. And Jesus suffered more than any human being has ever suffered. In today's text verse from Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a night of agony for him. Say, why? Well, why? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, here in the Garden of Gethsemane, he who is right with God will suffer and be made sin for you and I. Here we see him suffering for us. Jesus, while suffering here, was suffering for you and for me. Jesus was not suffering because Jesus was bad. Jesus was not suffering because Jesus was backslidden. Jesus was right with God, but suffering. Why? He became sin and suffered for you and for me. So here we see Him suffering for us. I guess it's no wonder then that God tells us that we may sometimes suffer for Him. He suffered for us. We may suffer for Him. The Bible says in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given, and in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." He suffered for your sake. Now we ought to be willing to suffer for His sake. We may suffer for Him, and we are to suffer like Him. He was our great example. He was our great example in many, many different ways, but may I say, He was our great example in regard to suffering. When suffering comes upon us, I don't know that it's wrong to ask God to take it away. Jesus did. Luke 22:42, it says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I don't think Jesus was delighted about everything that was going to happen. He said, "Lord, could you let this cup pass from me?" Now, if God does not take the suffering away, then He expects us to suffer correctly. Notice Jesus said, "Lord, take the cup of suffering away." He said, "But not my will, but thine be done." So if God does not take the suffering away, then He expects us to suffer correctly. So if you go to God and say, "God, I'm suffering, take it away," I don't think God minds that. As long as you will say, "But not my will, thine be done," everything will turn out just fine in regard to your suffering. 1 Peter 4:16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." Jesus' suffering did not make Him bitter. It did not make Him hateful. While on the cross, He said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You see, Jesus was right with God. He suffered in the will of God. Jesus' suffering was not as a result of His wrongdoing. Jesus, though, suffered in the will of God. Jesus asked that cup be removed, and it was not. And again, I think it's okay for you or I to say, "God, take the pain away." And just as much as it is right for you and I to say, "God, could you please take this pain away," then God has the right to say to us, "No, I'm going to have you keep the pain." You say, why? He's God. So Jesus, He accepted the suffering in the will of God, and He handled it the way that God would want Him to handle it, and He was an example to you and to I. You too could be right with God and be called upon to suffer. Now, see, some people believe that if there's suffering going on in a Christian's life, it's because God's mad at them or because of some deep-rooted sin in their life. I don't believe that. Now, I think there are some times that's right. But I'm not the one to judge you about it, and you're not the one to judge me about it. That's up to God. You have no idea why I suffer, and I have no idea why you suffer, and that's not up to me. But I can tell you this. Not all suffering is a result of God punishing you or disciplining you. I ought to warn you, though. There are times when God can slap the snot out of you if He's trying to get your attention because of sin in your life, though. So I'd be real careful. You too could be right with God, though. You could be right with God, and God could be calling upon you to suffer. Why, you might say. Now, I'll tell you this. I believe, and I know all of us, we'll try to say to each other, don't question God. Have faith in God. Look, anytime you're doing the best you know how, and all of a sudden you start suffering, well, maybe I better talk for myself. Anytime I'm doing the best I know how, and anytime I'm doing my best to live right and do right, and all of a sudden something comes upon me and it breaks my heart, I begin to suffer, and I turn to God and I say, why? Why? Now, I'm not going to tell you I say that, but I do. Maybe you're a little bit like me.
when you're trying to do your best and you're doing the best you know how, and all of a sudden something comes upon you, there's this big thing that happens down inside us. We want to say, what's up, God? Why in the world's going on here? We in our minds can justify, well, I know why I'm getting slammed today, God. It was my behavior of yesterday. But when I was a pretty good boy yesterday and I get slammed today, I always want to stop and say, what brought that on? Where'd that come from? Now listen, today I think I can answer your question as to why, when you're doing the best you know how and you're serving God the best that you can, why in the world would you have to suffer? Let me give you some reasons why someone who is seemingly right with God may find himself suffering. But don't forget, every once in a while, I believe suffering may come to wake some of us up to the fact that we're not as right with God as what we think we are. But today, that's not my sermon. My sermon is to those of you who are sincerely, you say, preacher, I'm in church like I ought to be. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm not living in a known sin. I'm not immoral. I'm not stealing the tithe. I'm not doing that. I'm doing the best I know how. But I'm suffering. And anybody in that case would have a tendency to wonder why. I want to talk to the sincere Christian today that's doing the best to be in the will of God, but yet they're suffering. Why is that? I think I can show you some things about it if you'll listen to me. Might I remind all of you, you say, well, Brother Owens, I'm not facing a catastrophic, a painful event in my life right now, especially some of you that are younger, you young people and you young couples, and right now you say, oh, everything's just great, and my life's going well. Well, I've listened to what I'm going to say because your time's coming. It may be on the horizon. Nobody gets out of this life without getting kicked around and beat around and going through some difficult times. So you might not need it right now, but you're going to need it. You're going to need it. You're going to want to tuck away the thoughts of this morning's sermon because you're going to need the reserve tank of fuel that I'm going to put in your spirit today to help you when you're running on empty and wondering why it is all of a sudden something happened and you were doing the best to serve God. Now you've got a heartache or a burden. You didn't see it coming. Wasn't your plan. You didn't think anything was going to happen because you were thinking, I'm pretty well right with God. How can anything bad happen? I'm in the will of God. In the will of God, there's suffering. It's there. We can't escape it. Let me tell you some of the reasons why. Number one, you may suffer when you're right with God because He wants you to pray more earnestly. You may suffer when you're right with God because God wants you to pray more earnestly. See, Luke 22, verse 43 and 44, that's the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was there suffering, let me read it. It says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Here's Jesus. He's in Gethsemane. He had gone to God, and God, he said, oh, God, remove this cup from suffering for me. But God did not. Now, what was the result? The Bible says, as a result, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Now, did you know what prayer is? Prayer is asking God for something. You know that if you ask God for something, the answer to prayer is that God wants to give you something. Understand this. Your suffering may cause you to pray more, and if you pray more, you have the potential to get more out of God. You say, I don't want to suffer. Okay, then you might be diluting your potential number of prayers being answered. He said, I don't want any hardship. I don't want any pain. I don't want any suffering. The Bible teaches that Jesus, when He suffered, it caused Him to pray more earnestly. Jesus' response in verse 44, He made the request, God, let this cup pass from me. God did not let the cup pass from Him. So Jesus turns around and says, I'll pray even harder, more earnestly. Hey, can I tell you something about your suffering? If any of you have experienced what I've experienced, when I go through suffering, it does something to my prayer life. Well, if you're responding to suffering the right way, it does. If you're going through some suffering, it ought to do something to increase your prayer life. You ought to be praying more earnestly. What do you mean? Praying by schedule. And getting back to praying like you should. There are people in here, you are moseying along and like, you weren't out drinking a case of Budweiser a day and beating up little old ladies. And you were basically right with God in so many aspects, but you really weren't praying and you really weren't serious about God. And all of a sudden the heartache came and you said, God, I didn't do anything bad to anybody. Why did this happen to me? And God said, I want you to get back to your prayer life. You say, well, what a process. I'll tell you something. I'd rather suffer and get back to my prayer life than not suffer and be away from God.
Yes.
You see, when Jesus was suffering, the Bible says he prayed more earnestly. He got back to his scheduled time of prayer. Hey, maybe that earnest praying, that earnestly word right there, maybe it means he got back to concentrating and being serious about his prayers. Folks, you know how many times we go to prayer and we just flippantly say our words and we race through it and we've never really made a spiritual connection with God. Hey, but you just find yourself right in the midst of a great big fat burden or heartache. All of a sudden, you get down on your knees and begin to pray. And you're saying, God, I want your attention. I want it, 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 I want it. I won't get up until I have your attention. Oh, God, I need you. God said, that's not how you prayed yesterday.
Right.
Yesterday it was this routine that was virtually insincere. Hey, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. God said, we're not going to let that happen. And he said, I'll go back to prayer and I will pray more earnestly. My schedule, I'll get back to it. My concentration, it'll be a spiritual prayer. See, Jesus was already praying. Just like you say, oh, I'm already praying, but this burden came upon me. He was already praying, but now he continues in this suffering, but it prompts him to more earnestly pray. Suffering can help to purify someone's prayer life. He said, Brother Owens, I'm suffering, and I don't know what I did. Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe God just wants to be with you in prayer. Suffering can help to intensify somebody's prayer life. I believe this. I believe with my whole heart that Daniel was praying, and he was praying well before he got thrown in the lion's den. But I will promise you something else. That after in the lion's den, he was praying more than before the lion's den. Was Daniel not right with God when he was thrown in the lion's den? No, Daniel was right with God. And this isn't good English, but I'll tell you this. He was righter with God after he got thrown in the lion's den. Look, folks, I believe that suffering may purify our prayer life. He said, well, I don't like the process. The process is not up to you. It's up to God. You and I don't get to pick the process. Remember, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And if God's coming and saying, I want to purify your prayer life, I'm going to use the tool of suffering to get it there, then let it happen. Let it, hey, pray more earnestly. I like this announcement. This is your captain speaking. On behalf of my crew, I'd like to welcome you aboard British Airlines Flight 602 from New York to London. We're currently flying at a height of 35,000 feet midway across the Atlantic. If you look out the window on the starboard side of the aircraft, you'll observe that both the starboard engines are on fire. If you look out the windows on the port side, you'll observe the port wing has totally fallen off of our plane. I have prayed earnestly for your safety and mine. Now, if you look down toward the Atlantic Ocean, you will see a little yellow life raft with three people in it waving at you. That's me, the co-pilot, and one of the stewardesses, and God has answered my prayer. Hey, listen, you get in a jam, it purifies your prayer life real fast. There are some of you who never have a powerful spiritual experience in prayer unless God knocks you to your knees. God, and you say, I don't like it. Well, you know what? We're better off being knocked to our knees and having the experience than to have never had the experience. Say, I don't think God's fair. God's doing you a favor. And so, You may suffer when you're right with God because God wants you to pray more earnestly. Secondly, you may suffer when you're right with God because God wants you to experience a power that can't be experienced without suffering. There is a power in the Christian life that will never be experienced without suffering. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this. It says in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might be depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Here's the story. Look at me. Paul was suffering. Paul had a problem, and Paul said, "I went to God on 3 different occasions, and I said, God, take this suffering away." But God did not. And Paul said, and he said unto me, "My grace," God is saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now listen to me. Those of you that are right with God, again, bad English, You may be going through a process of suffering to get you righter with God, because there is a power that is only produced through suffering. Sometimes it is a greater display of the power of God to strengthen us in suffering than it is for Him to deliver us from the suffering. Deliverance from suffering is a one-time act. It's kind of a flash in the pan. Providing ongoing power to a good Christian who is suffering is a daily demonstration of God's sustaining power that is seen by us all. When you see God make a one-time deliverance, it's quick and it's over. But I'll tell you something. I've watched Christians suffer with the dignity of God. And I've watched God give them power on Monday, and power on Tuesday, and power on Wednesday, and power on Thursday, and power on Friday, and power on Sunday, and power on every day of the week, week after week after week, as God continued to renew them with power to sustain them through their suffering. God may allow you to suffer so His power is made necessary in your life. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, isn't God's power always necessary in my life?" Yes, but we don't usually recognize the need for that power. Suffering makes us realize we're doing without a power that is available. Then it causes us to want and need that power. You see, sometimes it's a greater display of God's power to strengthen us in and through a burden than to just deliver us from that burden. God may allow you to suffer so His power is sought in your life. Look, when I'm not suffering, I don't seem to need as much power. Now, I probably do, but I don't seem to. You just let some big old burden come upon me, and all of a sudden I'm running to God and saying, "Plug me in, charge up my battery, tell me now, I'm not going to make it." You say, "I don't like the process." It doesn't matter whether you or I like the process. It's a process that God has chosen to energize you and to ignite your Christianity and to give you power. Usually, if we don't face something that's bigger than us, we don't seek bigger than us power. Moses and the children of Israel suffered at the hands of Pharaoh. Do you know anything about the story? They suffered and they suffered and they suffered and they suffered. But I'll tell you something. That suffering also produced the power that created the Red Sea parting where they went across on dry ground. I really believe this. No suffering in captivity. No Red Sea dry land crossing experience. It it was the suffering somehow that paved the way for the need of a deliverance that was amazing, that went down in history. It's talked about every Sunday, 52 weeks a year, at churches all across the world. But we forget they were suffering before the experience. The big suffering resulted in big power and big deliverance. Jesus suffered a terrible crucifixion. It produced a powerful resurrection. Just before the greatest event, the resurrection took place, the most terrible suffering took place. So be encouraged, Christian. Be encouraged. Say, I'm suffering. I'm suffering and it's bad and I hurt and I'm lonely. Well, get ready. There is the potential that this could be a springboard into the most greatest and most magnificent event that you've ever had in your life. The crucifixion was right before the resurrection. The suffering with Pharaoh was right before the Red Sea experience. So you see, you may suffer when you're right with God because God wants you to experience a power that can't be experienced without suffering. You may be suffering, you say, but I'm right with God the best I know how. Picture, I'm right with God. You may suffer when you're right with God because He wants you to pray more earnestly. I like this point. I hope you'll listen to it. Number three, you may suffer when you're right with God so He can teach you the deeper things of obedience. You may suffer when you're right with God so He can teach you the deeper things of obedience. And please, please listen to this. I want you to get this. This is going to mature some of you if you'll allow the Scripture to mature you. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This is speaking of Jesus. He was obedient as a result of it. It just unfolded more and more learning. And I don't know how all that happens. I just trust the Scripture. But the Bible says, though he were a son, Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Somehow Jesus, who was right with God, learned more obedience through his suffering. You might ask, well, what can I learn by suffering? I seemingly was right with God before this came upon me. I'm suffering right now, and as best I know, preacher, I'm right with God. Maybe the obedience that you and I could learn through suffering is this. Maybe you could learn to obey when you see no reward for obedience. You say, I'm obeying, but I'm suffering. Yeah, and if you're teetering in between disobeying and obeying because you think, well, look, I was obeying and I'm suffering, I think I'll quit. You better listen to me. You better learn to obey no matter how bad it hurts. Maybe we need to learn to obey just because it is right to obey. Maybe we need to learn that obedience is its own reward. Most of us are constantly bargaining with God. If I obey, what will you give me? Let me tell you something. If you obey, you ought to just thank God that you obeyed. So I want something out of it. Obedience is its own best reward. When you do what the Scripture says, hey, that is a reward within itself. We need to learn to do right even when it hurts. Maybe we need to learn to obey during suffering. Let me prove it to you. How many times do you see suffering come upon somebody before long they're out of church? They stop tithing. They stop soul winning. They're hitting it. Their attitude just goes haywire. Maybe they caused it. Maybe they did not. But let me tell you something, folks. You and I, no matter what we're going through, we're still supposed to be obedient to God. See, the human race has programmed itself to believe that if you do something good, it always earns you a reward of a better outcome. We need to learn to do something good because it's right to do good things. We always think that, hey, you start suffering and you say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm suffering and I think I'm just going to go get a bunch of money away, or I'm just going to go do this good deed. So you go do that good deed and you go give that money away, and then the next week you're still suffering and you say, what is this? I thought I bought my way out of this. You can't buy your way out of suffering if God wants you to suffer. Was it good that you gave the money away? Yes. Was it good that you went and did the good deed? Absolutely. Go ahead and do it, but don't turn on God what you don't get out of it, what you wanted to get out of it. And some of us need to learn to suffer and obey no matter what the outcome. See, with this in mind, if I suffer and I suffer God's way, it'll purify and it'll mature my obedience. Maybe we need to learn to obey even when it hurts. You know, folks, it's easy to obey when our circumstances are favorable. It's another thing entirely to obey when we're hurting. We always want a give and take thing with God. Now, folks, God owes us nothing. You say, I'm suffering. I'll pay any price to get it to go away. You ought to be willing to pay any price to God anyway. Since when are we withholding something that God might want us to do as a bargaining chip? We should have been giving all to God anyway. Who do we think we are holding out on God just in case I need a little leverage? You're not to be holding out on God with your leverage. You're to be giving God your all. Suffering when you're right with God and being obedient during that suffering will toughen you up. Everybody here that is truly serious about being used of God, your day will come when you will suffer, and it makes no sense at all why you are. You're tithing, you're in church, you're winning souls, you're on a bus route, you keep your mouth shut, you're not a gossip, you're doing basically everything you know to do. Suffering is coming to you at the height of your Christianity. Why? Because God wants to figure out if you'll just keep obeying, and you obey because you love, or you obey because you want something out of Him. My friend, if you can get through it and obey when the chips are down and you can't even figure out why you're getting it, God looks down and says, there's somebody that's got some spiritual character and backbone. I can use them. Look, if you did wrong and you're suffering because of it, well, shouldn't I? I mean, what's the big deal? Some of you can't even accept that. You did wrong. You stole the tithe and you're having a financial dilemma in your life. Look, that's your fault. But look, when you were tithing and giving, and suddenly the dilemma comes upon you, you're apt to say, what's up? What's going on? God wants to see you obey straight through the pain. Obedience during suffering proves your love for God is stronger than your love for what you can get out of God. Look, Jesus continued to obey God even when God did not remove His cup of suffering. He said, let this cup pass from me. God said, you're going to the cross. He said, I'm going to the cross.
Good.
Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. There are not very many Christians that live at that level right there. Not very many. Every Christian in here ought to get you to the point where you say, I don't care what happens to me, God. I don't care what comes my way. I trust you, and I don't necessarily ask for it, but when it comes, by the grace of God, I'm going to hang in there, and I'm not turning my back on you. Oh, I get tired of babying Christians. Every time he's around, it's the same batch of them. Usually in the same batch, got their feelings hurt and up in an uproar. It'd be good if a whole bunch of Christians got enough determination and backbone to say, come hell or high water, I'm in and I'm sticking with God. Even if I don't understand my suffering, even if I didn't bring it on. You see, you may suffer when you're right with God because He's teaching you a deeper obedience. You may suffer when you're right with God because He wants you to experience a power that you could otherwise not experience. You may suffer when you're right with God because He wants you to pray more earnestly. Let me say this. Number four, you may suffer when you're right with God so you can become more like Him. 1 Peter 2:21 says, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. The title Christian means Christ-like. I can't be like Christ unless I suffer, like he did. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. See, you can't suffer, this sounds like deep theology here. You can't suffer like a Christian unless you suffer. There's a way a Christian should suffer. To prove that you will suffer like a Christian, you must suffer. You have no choice. Well, what's a Christian? Somebody's like Christ. There's a part of the development of you into becoming like Him that will never be developed unless you suffer. You have no choice. There's a part of Christ-likeness that can never be obtained without suffering. Why? He suffered. He said, I'm going to give you an example how to suffer. How did He suffer? Did He suffer because He did bad? No. So you may have to learn to suffer when you don't seemingly do bad. Just so you all know, we all do bad. But let's say you're as right with God as you know how to be. You are going to have to learn to suffer during the good times to be like Christ, because He dead sure didn't bring on His bad times. Jesus suffered the pain of being hated without a cause. You may need to experience the same suffering if you want to be like Jesus. Jesus suffered the pain of disloyalties when He was perfectly loyal. You may have to go through some of that if you want to be like Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and listen to this verse, listen to the specificness of this verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me read it to you again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Does it say all that live wicked in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? No. It said if you're right with God, you're going to suffer. You say, well, I'm not suffering. Well, it says if you live godly. You might have missed the bill because you're suffering because of you. Your misbehavior. But you, hey, you start living your life, Christian, in a godly fashion. You start keeping people out of hell. You start building a bus route. You start changing life. You start teaching a Sunday school class. You better get ready. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't be right with God and suffer for the purposes. Well, listen. You are going to suffer if you live godly, and that suffering will help to make you like Jesus Christ. The suffering's not there to destroy you. The suffering was there to make you. If it's there to destroy anything, it's there to destroy the fleshly part of you. You say, preacher, I want to be like Jesus. You mean it? I mean, even the most liberal crowd in what we call Christianity say, I want to be like Jesus. Oh, yeah? Then the process includes suffering. Well, I wasn't talking about that. I talk about enjoying the music. I talk about the fellowship, and I talk about, you know, fried chicken and mashed potatoes on the ground. I want to be like Jesus. I want to hear the good news for modern man. Well, I've got some old news for you. Jesus Christ suffered as no man suffered. If you want to be like Him, you'll have to go through some of what He went through. And that's His way. Suffering somehow made Jesus what He was, or it was the fulfillment of what God wanted Him to be. And just as much as Jesus had to suffer to fulfill God's purpose for Him so He could be the perfect Savior, if you're going to be perfectly what you ought to be in the Lord, there is a process of suffering that you'll have to go through. And I can't tell you what it is. You can't even tell you what it all is. But I'm going to tell you when it comes, you better stop and look at it and say, God is molding me. And so, suffering? When I'm right with God? Why? Because you'll pray more earnestly. Why? Because there is a power that you will never experience unless you suffer for that power to be used. Why? Because it creates a deeper obedience. It's not a bargain-making obedience with God. Why? Why would I suffer when I'm seemingly right with God? Because you become more like Christ as a result of it. Why? Well, number five, you may suffer when you're right with God so you can see a part of God that only suffering reveals. See, there is a part of God that I don't believe that you'll ever get to see unless you suffer to see it. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now notice, God is a very present help. When? In trouble. Let me give you an invitation to God's presence. Trouble. Notice, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. I mean, God was right on it. God was right on the scene. When? When you got the raise down at the shop? No. When? When somebody paid your bill for you? No. When? When everybody was healthy? No. When? When everything was going fantastic? No. When? When the trouble hit. The trouble hit and God said, I'm there for you. And some of you say, get the trouble away, get the trouble away, get the trouble away. Watch out. You may be pushing God away. God may have wanted to get up close to you so you could see a part of Him you'd never seen before. Now, I'm not asking for trouble. But I am telling you this, you better look down inside that trouble because somebody's there. Hey, standing somewhere in the silence, somewhere in the darkness, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. When in trouble, He is a very present help. That means better than ever. He said, well, the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I realize that. He's not left us nor forsake us. But He's saying here, I'm stepping up a little closer. I'm going to get a little closer. It says here He is a refuge. Look, folks, He can't be your refuge unless you need some reason for refuge. Your trouble gives you a chance to step inside the refuge of Jesus. If you don't experience the trouble, you don't experience a refuge. And there's something awful sweet about being close enough to your refuge to touch Him. You need a refuge when you're suffering. Your suffering reveals a part of God that the good times never produce. Big suffering makes available to us big mercy, big help, and a big presence of God in our life. James chapter 5, verse number 11 says this, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Listen, Job had the privilege of experiencing something about God that probably nobody has experienced since. Humanly speaking, all of us, scripturally speaking, we would all say, other than Jesus Christ, who suffered most in the Bible? Job. Let me tell you something. While Job was suffering in a magnificent way, just terrible way, I mean, the suffering was just magnified in his life. It's seemingly out of proportion. I'll tell you, God was there in whatever proportion Job needed Him. Big suffering makes available to us big mercy. If you endure suffering, you too can be counted as happy. Listen to what the verse says in James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Huh? How in the world does somebody end up happy which is enduring suffering? They're not suffering alone. There's somebody right there that's seeing them through it. There's somebody that's answering. There's somebody that's answering their prayers that they never prayed prior to the suffering. There's somebody giving them power which they never had before the suffering. There's somebody that is rewarding their obedience that they weren't even sure they'd obey before the suffering. Something big's happening. Your suffering's taking place and God's cuddling up next to you and saying, I'm right here. You see, you may suffer when you're right with God so you can see a part of God that only suffering permits. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. One reason for that happiness is because you experience the presence of God during your suffering like not before. God wants you to see all of Him. Folks, can you imagine how much of God there is? We kind of picture what God is. You can't fathom what God is. There are parts of God that He chooses how they are revealed to us. Now, there is a part of God that you only get associated with and you only experience if you suffer. And so, God may be allowing you to suffer when you say, I'm seemingly right with God. He's doing it out of tender mercy and loving kindness. He's trying to let you get a good old look at Him. He's trying to get up closer to you where you can experience a closeness to Him that a lack of suffering wouldn't have produced. God wants you to see all of Him. He wants you to see the depth of His love and the depth of His compassion for you. Your suffering allows Him to show you a side of Him that can't be seen in the good times. You know, there's a certain thrill during the good times. I'm going to have to tell everybody here. My life, I've seen more of God in the dark valley than on the shiny mountaintop. Can anybody say amen? You say, but wait, it's dark. He is seemingly at the bottom. Yes, I understand. But He is the God of the valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Guess what? He's not going to leave us. He's there. Most people on the mountaintop are enjoying everybody else that's on the mountaintop with them. And I'm talking about the human experience and the jubilation of success. But in the valley, we spend it alone. But wait, not alone. Because no, never alone. He never left me. He never forsakes me. See, there's a part of God that, hey, you know, I won't go into it. But I'll tell you what. Brother Jerry Lowther's here this morning. Brother Lowther suffers terribly with his health. Brother Jerry, I don't want you to suffer. But if you've ever spent any time with that man, I'll promise you something. He's seen a part of God some of you may never experience.
Yes, sir.
Whew. Because suffering, somehow it shows us a part of God that the good times will not show us. It's just like your friends. Many of you, all you have is good time friends. You just let all hell cut loose in your life and see who sticks with you then.
Yes, right.
You find out who loves you, no matter what sin you've committed. You find out who loves you when it seems like everything's falling around you and everybody else wants to forsake you. The bad times bring out the best of the good people. And with God, your worst time sometimes is best time. Your worst time comes and God says, time to shine. You'll never see the greatness of a doctor's ability unless someone is near death. Let's face it. When that doctor steps up and he knows exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, all the time you were healthy, you did not get to see what your doctor was capable of, but all of a sudden you're near death and you're suffering and the pain and it's out of control and the doctor steps in and fixes it. You walk away saying, I've got the best doctor in the entire world. You had the best doctor prior to that, but you didn't have anything to cause you to believe it. And you've got the best spiritual doctor in the world, Dr. Jesus. And it may be you need to suffer so he can step in and heal your sin sick soul. So you walk away saying, guess who my doctor is?
A ship's passengers will never see the awesome ability of the captain until they are suffering in a storm, possibly to sink. When we're sailing and it's smooth, and everything's just so nice, not one person saying,
let me tell you who my captain is.
No, but you come through a storm where everybody thought that they would perish. And all of a sudden, the mighty captain steps up and he says, don't you worry. Everything's under control. And the winds and the waves obey his will. And all of a sudden, they calm down and settle down. You walk away saying, we could have perished, but the captain saved us. Hey, I've got a mighty captain. His name is Jesus Christ. But if I had never gone through some of the storms of life, I'd never know that my captain's never let a Christian sink. See, you can never look up to heaven and see Jesus standing in honor of you by the right hand of the Father unless you go through a stoning like Stephen. Hey, who else looked into heaven, seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father? Who? Stephen. How to get that shot? Stoned? Suffering? He was suffering. He glanced up. He said, wow, y'all are not going to believe what I see right now. And you know what? A lot of people can't believe that he saw it. You want to know why? They don't get to see it. Did he get it? On the big day of victory and glory, no, he got it when he was getting his head bashed in by a bunch of hateful people that they really had no cause to do to him what they were doing. So keep your eyes on the northern sky. Keep your eyes toward heaven. You say, I'm suffering. Hey, if I'm not when you are, could you tell me what you've been seeing? You see God do some pretty powerful things, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Suffering when you're right with God. I suppose you would tend to agree with me and me to agree with you. It almost seemed like if we're doing the best we know how could this hardship come in our life? You and I, with our human reasoning, seems like why? I've answered your question today. If you'll remember these things, they'll help you. When you're suffering, then it kind of seems like you can't figure out why. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He suffered for you. Really no cause for Him to suffer for you, but one, He loved you. He loved you. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, I would like to invite you to a Savior who suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. And I'm talking about the suffering of hell. You see, one thing I'll